Stugatz here for Advance Auto Parts. These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Batteries start at just $79.99. They'll also have curbside pickup on any order. Enter the code DAN20 when you buy online to save 20% on your order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details.
Over the last few weeks, Amin Alhassan, ESPN front office insider, is telling us a story about how he became referred to as an ESPN front office insider. I've had a lot of fun with Amin going over his time with the Phoenix Suns. We've had a lot of good stories. I have very clearly woken Amin Alhassan up. That's another reason I'm so grateful for him doing this, because it is early his time. Amin, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, you sound pretty good. You sound better than you look.
I do this for a living, pretending that I'm much better than I actually am.
All right, but I am torn today. We paused our Suns conversation at a very interesting point. The last time we spoke, you left off on Shaq offering to fly the team's training staff and members of the team, basically anybody who wanted to go to the Super Bowl in Tampa to watch the Arizona Cardinals versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Terry Porter has decided, even knowing this information, it would seem that we're going to have practice. And so begins the beginning of the end for Terry Porter in Phoenix. We will get into where that story picks up. However, there have been recent developments regarding Kyrie Irving, the league, the resumption of play, and a bizarre, absolute explosion of leaks regarding what's happening in Walt Disney World. And I think it's a direct response to word leaking out that the players wanted Vegas, not Disney. And now we're hearing about all the amazing things that the players are getting in Disney. But first of all, let's start off with Kyrie. The recent developments are that Kyrie, in a Brooklyn Nets group chat, has brought up the suggestion, hey, we don't even need the NBA. We can start our own league, which feels like he's a few steps ahead on the road. I don't know what to make of this. Kyrie is obviously a bad messenger. He's saying some good things. You hang around in league circles. What am I to make of all these recent Kyrie Irving developments, Amin?
I think that's one of the funny things, that it doesn't seem, because especially as I see the reactions from people on the internet, particularly people who are not like just regular fans, people who are, should be quote unquote in the know, but aren't, where they say, oh, they're trying to silence Kyrie and, you know, things like that. And the reality is people on the inside know he's a mercurial guy. His mind jumps from kind of idea to idea, from emotion to emotion. And it's just funny to me, because all of this is completely on brand from the guy who said, oh, the earth is flat. Then he said, oh, it was a thought experiment or whatever. I mean, that's what you get right there, right? And it's kind of funny that there would actually be people who are like lining up to follow this guy through the gates of hell or whatever. So, you know, I love, my favorite part is that he's left the group chat. I don't know if you saw that.
I did not. So Kyrie has left the group chat. Is this because he's upset that people are now just fed up and leaking information from the group chat? Because some of this stuff, it does come off pretty embarrassing, because it makes him appear to be a bit of a kook.
I mean, but again, you know, he said it. Like I said, it's all on brand. It's things that he said, you know, and you know, if you think about the call that happened on Friday, and the call that preceded it, the one that not many people have talked about, there was a call preceding that larger call. Is him kind of getting carried away and talking about kind of stuff that, quite frankly, that he is a VP and the player rep. By the way, he's a player rep for the Nets, and he's a VP on the NBPA board. He had every opportunity to bring up these concerns. to bring up these concerns about, you know, what's happening in the country and how they can make a difference, and how they're going to Orlando or not going to Orlando can be part of that. He hasn't done that. He never did that. He basically asked about the most mundane things when he had those, all those opportunities.
Why and, was that? Because look, sometimes inspiration strikes you when it strikes you, but it seems as though, actually, it doesn't seem as though, we know for sure 12 days ago when this call happened, we were still dealing with these social issues. In fact, they were probably even more fresh in everybody's minds, because that's when you had the really dramatic video from many of these protests, some of which turning ugly and violent, with clashes with the police. Why did he choose to not speak on these social causes on that call, but then circle back after there was all this forward momentum and a deal was already agreed upon?
So let me give you an
illustration. I'm asking you to crawl into the mind of Kyrie Irving right now.
Wow. let me give you a timeline, right? So people, the listeners might be confused, right? So George Floyd is murdered May 25th, May 26th. Video comes out around that time. 27, 28, people start going in the streets. 29, it's really picking up steam. 30th, 31st, there are protests all across the nation. NBA players are out speaking on this. Udonis Haslam is in Miami, speaking to a crowd. Jaylen Brown drives from Boston to Atlanta, leading kind of, marches. Dennis Smith Jr. is in Fayetteville, North Carolina, talking to people, marching with J. Cole, and more, and so on, right? All these things are happening. That's the Saturday and Sunday is the 31st and the 30th and 31st. Monday the 1st, most of the teams have come out with a statement of some sorts, right? The NBA teams, right? The 2nd, the 3rd, the 4th is when the Board of Governors votes on their 22-team format. And then the 5th, which is the Friday, is when the Players Association gets that and then votes on it. Now, mind you, we're talking about a 22-team format. They didn't come up with it on the 3rd, vote on the 4th, and then send to the players on the 5th. This is something that if you like basketball, I'm not saying you're in the know and you're an insider or whatever. I'm saying if you're a fan who likes basketball, you were aware of this conversation for weeks. So the Players Association, clearly they've been talking about this on a regular basis, if not daily basis, right? Regular calls, regular Zoom calls. So from at least May 30th, you've got to know this country's going through some social upheaval. While on the backdrop of we've been talking about this 22-team format, he says nothing through that time. The following week, so the 5th is the Friday, 6th, 7th, I want to say the 9th, the Tuesday, the 9th.
He says nothing.
Nothing along these lines, mm-hmm. Right?
Nothing of note.
Right.
Other than how we get in the vodka?
Well, whatever it is. I'm not here to judge what kind of free merch.
I'm also not here to judge, because that is an important question when you're going to be stuck in Disney World for potentially a few months without being able to go to the parks.
And no, hold on. Stuck in Disney World for a couple of few months without going able to go to the park, and also you're not playing.
Given their record, look, all Disney properties are great. We're owned by Disney. But the fact is, they're at the Yacht Club and not at the Grand Floridian.
They didn't know that. At this point, they don't know that.
All right.
No, but like the idea is that he's not playing. And it's funny, because I saw a news story yesterday with John Wall said, I'm hurt, so I can't play. But if I weren't hurt, I would stand with Kyrie. Like, oh, isn't that wonderful? The $200 million men who are hurt and wouldn't play anyway are saying we wouldn't play even if we could. That's very nice. You know, it's like
admirable.
It's admirable. Like Kendrick Perkins said, though, if you feel that strongly, then why don't you give it all up like Maya Moore and actually do something about it, instead of sitting here counting stacks of money and telling two-way players, 10-day players, minimum salary players and guys on rookie scale, hey, you guys shouldn't play. You should make a statement. Hold on. I got a paper cut from cutting all these hundreds of millions of dollars right here. It's just not, it is the epitome of like bourgeoisie taking advantage of the proletariat and telling them, yes, let's march and let's put it all on the line.
How do you reconcile
nothing on the line?
How do you reconcile that with the fact that there is something to his message? And where do you stand on the general public, NBA fans, who are also being influenced right now by what they see on their timelines, what they see on their television, and are motivated to take part and actually take action for these social causes. Can we balance the two?
So it's an important distinction that when I criticize Kyrie and criticize John Wall, I'm not criticizing the idea of not playing, because at the end of the day, first of all, that is a player decision, right? That only they can make that decision whether they want to play or not. And I'm not going to be like Orlovsky and like demand my entertainment. If these guys feel that strongly about this, then they should be allowed to do, or not allowed, they should not play, right? Having said that, Mike, when I work for the Suns, as I'm sure you guys kind of have gathered over the last few weeks, people ask me what my title was or what my roles were. Like, that's all kind of resume stuff. The reality is my job was, if we had an idea, to tell everybody all the reasons why this idea might go wrong. Not in an effort to stop us from going through the idea, but the idea is that if Steve Kerr, David Griffin want to make a decision, I want them to make the most educated decision. So if something does go wrong, I never want someone to say, oh, why didn't someone tell us that the whole house was going to go on fire if we lit this thing up? Well, I knew, but I didn't want to tell you guys because you seem so excited to do it. That would be a gross kind of underperformance on my job, on my behalf, right? So same thing here. The players need somebody to say, look, we can take this stand if we so choose it, but here are the ramifications. Do y'all still want to go through with it? Okay. But a lot of times people are making decisions based on emotions or the vibe. Oh my God. Yeah. Let's do it. Hey, by the way, they're going to rip up the CBA and, you know, all you guys who are up for max extensions, probably going to be closer to 100 million than 160 million. Oh, well, I didn't know about that. That conversation, I don't know if it, well, I know it was had on the call on Friday. somebody brought that up. But the idea is, from a player's perspective, they need to understand that before they make the decision. From a fan's perspective, you need to respect whatever decision they come up with, right? Because at the end of the day, it's their careers and their health and all that stuff that's on the line. It's none of ours. Like when Damian Lillard said to Dan Orlovsky, man, I'm sorry that we're not going to be your little, you know, gladiators on a television screen, but that's not your decision to make. It's our decision to make.
Right. And I think you're speaking to the fact that it would be a tremendous sacrifice by these players, because maybe you can explain what happens. You kind of did what happens to their money if they don't honor the terms of this broadcasting deal. But that not only changes the NBA for this year, but for years to come. The salaries were continuing to climb and players were starting to get more and more what felt like fair market value.
Yeah. So I would say, first of all, Adam Silver is, never forget, he's a lawyer. So when he says things, you have to understand it from a lawyer speak way. So the other day on the Mike Greenberg special, he said, no players will be disciplined or the contracts won't be voided if they decide not to show up, right? He's talking, first of all, in terms of individual decisions, right? If I'm, Kendrick Nunn. And Kendrick Nunn says, man, my conscience just won't allow me to do it. Kendrick Nunn's contract won't be torn up. And he'll still be a Miami Heat player if he doesn't show up. But what Adam Silver is not saying, and when he implies that, is, yeah, but Kendrick Nunn is not going to get paid for every game he doesn't show up for. He's going to get fined 1/92nd of his, basically a game check for every game he doesn't show up for, up to 14 games. It's not that, hey man, you still get your money. You're not going to get paid for this season, right? Now, that's in the case of individuals choosing not to go. If they en masse say, we're not going to play, now what you've done is we can't have this Orlando tournament or whatever, which means the whole thing get canceled, which means, all right, we're tearing up the CBA. We're enacting force majeure. Now, here's the thing, Mike. I said this on the jump yesterday. My first jump appearance in 3 months, by the way. It's my understanding that the owners have the legal ability and the inclination to tear up the CBA anyway, even if.
Really?
Yes, because force majeure isn't if the season is canceled. Force majeure is if games are canceled. And 8 teams aren't playing games, and 22 teams are playing less than half of their remaining games. They have the legal footing to tear it up and will do it. So if you say, well, why would the players play then? If it's going to torn up anyway, what's the difference? So the difference is it's going to get torn up. Do you want to go into these negotiations in good faith? Hey, we all try to kind of salvage this money and we'll make it look good moving forward. Or do you want to go in where you lost us over $1 billion and now we want blood? And that's why they need to play from a financial standpoint. Now, again, they can choose from a moral ground not to do it.
What's the state of Kyrie's leadership position after all of this? How has this gone over with other players among that executive branch of the Players Association and just even on his team?
The executive branch can't force him out. Like that's a player vote. That's a player body vote. Now, this may come as a shock to you. Players are not exactly the most engaged electorate that we have in this nation.
It's how Kyrie Irving probably got that position, recognizing no one else wants to do it.
Pretty much. I think I talked to you about this on the phone the other day. The idea that if you look at the player reps in for like the team player reps, they fall into two groups. One is I am concerned citizen. I would have been in class president in high school or whatever. So you're Donovan Mitchells, you're Taj Gibsons, people like that, right? And then the other group are young players who are basically, someone said, well, no, I don't want to do it. You give it to the young guy. So Goga Bitadze is the player up for Indiana. Terrence Mann is the player up for the Clippers. Luke Kornet is the player rep for the Bulls. Dylan Windler is the player rep for the Cavs.
Are you making up all these names?
Exactly. That's what it feels like. It feels like.
I feel like I thought you were trying to get me just to nod my head silently while you were just making up names.
Dude, I'm going to tell you right now. When I saw Dylan Windler, I legit looked up and had to. I said, who's Dylan Windler?
That's an NBA 2K20 auto generated rookie.
Yes. That's when you finish the season.
I just sent a scout to see him on NBA 2K.
Yeah. I really felt foolish. I felt like, man, I'm really, then again, I forgot that Michael Kidd-Gilchrist plays for the Mavs as well. So this coronavirus has done numbers on my brain.
That is such a Mavs player, by the way. That's such a Mavs move.
MKG?
Yeah, just getting a player that had high promise and is now on probably the backside of what is his career as a whole and make him a role player. Player that
it's
had high
the
hopes.
Draft.
Yeah. Had a player that had
draft.
High hopes and turned him into a role player, and hell, they kind of won a championship that way. Not kind of, they did.
Peja Stojakovic and guys like that. But anyway, so point being, to wrap up the point is, these are people that when it came to the collective bargaining agreement, the single document that most dictates and governs their livelihoods, basically their careers as NBA players, we had something like less than a quarter turnout to vote for it. It's the reason why when Michelle Roberts took over, she said, one of the things that the players were upset about was like people, the media picking the MVP. What do they know? Why don't they ask the people who actually know, played against these guys, MVP and blah, 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 blah. So we're going to have our own awards, the players awards. I'm going to do a show in Vegas and we're going to sell the TV rights to Turner and da, da, da. And everyone's excited. And I think like 15% of the players voted for this thing. And as far as the show up, the people who showed up, LeBron didn't show up. Steph Curry didn't. None of the marquee players that I'm sure Turner was looking for when they bought rights to this television program showed up. It was just a bunch of NBA role players and no names and stuff like that. And guess what? The year after that, instead of having a TV show, we'll do a press release. And the year after that, where's the Players' Choice Awards now?
Yeah.
They're not really engaged in voting on things.
I didn't even know that happened.
The Players' Choice Award?
No, I know that there was like an award show that they had. I didn't even notice it disappear, and it speaks to, as you're saying, just the general lack of engagement from those players.
So I don't mean to say this to paint with a broad brush, say, oh, players are apathetic or whatever. I'm just saying when people complain, how could the executive board make these decisions without talking to us? They tell you when the calls are. You have reps that you call, hey, what's going on? What's the word? If you do none of these things and then wake up a week after the vote, say, wait a second, well, then this is what happens.
It's how music artists get taken advantage of by the record industry. Every music artist that ever sues a record label, how could you take all these all this money on the front end? It's in the contract. You just
music people, it's because they don't have a choice. They feel like this is the only choice they have, so they sign the deal. This is how people get elected into office in actual America.
Yeah, that's very true.
We are one of the worst voter turnout nations in the world, and we get the results that we get.
All right, let's actually do this Inception thing and hop in the mind of Kyrie Irving for just a second. I see you laughing there, and I know why. All right, Kyrie Irving.
Hi, bro. Yeah. What's the Willindas? The mean Willinda.
Tyrone's a little wider, I guess. How wide? Let's not find out, at least not on this local hour. So Kyrie Irving throws this out there, and in a hypothetical, it's something that can absolutely be entertained because people tune into games for the most part to see the marquee players. I mean, we saw when, you know, Ryan Kelly was starting for the Lakers, they weren't exactly a ratings juggernaut. They weren't exactly a ratings juggernaut.
No one believed he could fly.
See, I feel uncomfortable even laughing at that joke now. It's such a weird time. Has this ever been discussed among the players? Because now you have the marquee players having more power in terms of the executive. You have the LeBron James and the Chris Pauls actually having titles, executive titles within the Players Association. That sort of seem...
LeBron does not have a title anymore,
right. So, but this is the NBA Players Association. That is the name of this group. By having someone within the executive branch like Kyrie Irving say, hey, we don't need the NBA, let's break off. I'm not saying this is a breach at all, just because, I mean, the title is what it is. But can the players actually do this if we try to get inside the mind of Kyrie?
Probably not, because what you're talking about is first and foremost, you're talking about infrastructure, right? Like capital. You need arenas. As luck would have it, there are a bunch of arenas across this country. Turns out they're owned by the same people that you're trying to screw over right now. So maybe getting into an arena won't be as easy, right? Insurance, right? Think about this. The players right now, they're looking at how can they get insured so if they go to Orlando and suffer catastrophic injury. The league is not offering it at this point. A lot of people are worried. Insurance companies are worried about the premiums, right? Like if we insure you here, you get hurt, then it's harder to get a player insured later.
Yeah, I saw that. Specifically players that are eyeing big deals that are sort of capped, like the Bam Adebayos of the world, the Donovan Mitchells of the world.
There are about, I want to say, like 13 magic bullets that the league has. Like for the most part, the league offers insurance. Every player is insured year to year, right? The insurance company then has 13 magic bullets that they can use on specific body parts. Kyrie's knee, Joel Embiid's foot, whatever. Meaning that if these people suffer a season-ending injury in that specific body part, then it is not covered by the insurance. You got to pay in full. I know this because when we had Amari Stoudemire, he had three of the league's like 13 or 14 magic bullets were on Amari Stoudemire, one on each knee and one on his eye.
Really? That's fascinating. I had no idea about this. I got to imagine. Now I want to fill out what these 13 magic bullets are. Steph's ankle's got to be one.
But it changes from year to year. Like at the beginning of each year, they can switch it around. And for them, it depends on a lot of things. It depends on the value of the remainder of the contract, right? So if a guy's got 1 year left, the insurance company's not going to waste a magic bullet on even $20 million if there's a guy who has $90 million remaining on his deal and has an injury, right? So it depends on the value of the years and money on the remaining on the contract. It depends on, the severity of the injury. It depends on a lot of different things, basically.
So Bam Adebayo is looking for specific insurance because he's already agreed. He's locked in. I want to talk about the actual construct of this tournament in Orlando. On the surface, home court advantage is absolutely gone. It'll be interesting to see if they do anything to sort of sweeten the pot for some of those teams.
Hotels.
Sorry, Zion Williamson and Damian Lillard. Welcome to the Yacht Club. While other teams are at Destino and the Grand Floridian. But hey, we'll give you a DJ set. Hey, you get to see Black Widow before everybody else. Hey, maybe you can see some of these other games. It'll be interesting to see if they get to go to like the MLS tournament or if the MLS players get to go to the NBA. They're trying to make this a little bit more fun because, as we found out, the players actually would have preferred being in Las Vegas, which is no surprise.
The 2K thing is the dumbest thing because they all travel. The guys who are about gaming, they travel with their gaming consoles.
Yeah.
They pack it in and they plug it in their hotel room. So I don't know why they need to go somewhere to go, to talk to people in person. But again, we've reached a point in this country where most gaming, multiplayer gaming is done online anyway. So
yeah,
it's just weird, man. I feel like they just try to think of things that people like and they don't really actually think about, or is anyone actually going to use this? I don't think anyone's going to use the 2K. I don't think anyone's going to be playing ping pong. Maybe once in an entire 3 month period, someone was out, let's go play ping pong.
But do you anticipate possibly more upsets given that we haven't seen these teams for months? There's no home court advantage. The notion of winning an elimination game against a higher seed, it's usually impossible or close to impossible to win an elimination game on the road in the NBA historically. Now you don't actually have the road. So does this open the door? You got to think for some monumental upsets in the postseason.
So, the math on first round upsets is something like 3-1, right? 3-1 in favor of the favorite. And it flattens out, the most flattest odds are in the conference finals, which is 1.2-1, right? You say to yourself, well, how is that? Why is that? Well, you can say all the different things, but the reality is the reason why most of the time in the first round, the higher seed wins, it's not because they have home court advantage. It's because they're better. They're better, right? So the better teams are going to win regardless. It's going to be more in play when we're talking about the conference finals and the finals, and really the conference finals, because that's a closer measure of, you know, proximity than the finals are. Because as we know, the Eastern Conference is trash and the Western Conference is great. But when you get to the conference finals, the cream rises to the top. So I think that's when we're going to see home court advantage or lack thereof be important. But in terms of, like, are the Blazers going to beat the Lakers because they don't have to go to LA anymore? No, it doesn't matter.
But is it safe to assume that we don't know who the better teams are anymore? We've had essentially an entire NBA offseason, and presumably during this off time, players are taking their natural leaps in terms of progression, right?
Right. So leaving out injury, like someone getting hurt or someone catching the Rona. You talk about, for instance, a team like the Houston Rockets, right? Lot of kind of free-flowing, very simple playbook. In a regular playoff scenario, I would say, oh, man, you guys are going to get killed because people get more sophisticated and you guys make it easy in terms of schematically how to guard you, right? Now, given that people are off for 3 months, haven't practiced and play ball, someone who's really good at quote-unquote pickup, that might actually be an advantage, right? The Rockets might be in a stronger place here because they don't have a bunch of plays they have to remember, or timing or stuff. They're still like, give the ball to Russ or Harden, everyone else space out. So that helps them. A team like the Blazers, right? Even though they're probably going to be an 8 seed and it won't make a difference, but.
And Carmelo doesn't even know if he's playing.
Well, yeah. Well, no, Carmelo's in the pro playing, faction, I believe.
I saw that report like a couple of days ago.
He was on the call, but he was, as I understand on the call, he was arguing for playing.
Okay.
But anyways, first of all, you're giving Carmelo a training camp, which he didn't get to do during the season. Second of all, you've got Nurkic and you've got Zach Collins, who were supposed to be gone for the year or maybe kind of trickling their way back in. Now they're fully healthy. So you're talking about a Blazers team that's fully healthy and you're going to give them a full camp. They are much better equipped than, let's say, the Memphis Grizzlies, who are, they had some knick-knack injuries, but nothing is, not playing basketball doesn't help a young player in terms of knowledge and experience, which is so important in nut-cutting situations.
Yeah. How much is of this in terms of the regular season games, and we still have no idea who's playing who, really, that specific detail hasn't been leaked out yet. How much of this is give these teams that are actually locked in a playoff position a couple of warm-up games to find their rhythm to ensure a certain quality, and how much is it get Zion in on this television rights deal?
Let me say this right now. I love Brian Windhorst. He's one of the best reporters. He's probably the best reporter we have at this company, and he's one of the best in the business. The Zion thing, I think, was Brian's, like, he should not have said that, right? Not that it's a secret, but you guys know, you know, people who work NBA teams, NFL teams, their number one pastime is to grumble about everything, about how the woe is me and the league just hates us and da da da. So I don't doubt for a second the reporting that there were people grumbling, oh, they're doing this just to get Zion in. But that's not why they're doing it. And that's a dumb reason. And it's this type of dumb complaining that NBA execs do, right? They're 22 teams because they wanted 30. You know why they didn't get 30? Because a significant number of players said what Damian Lillard said. If I'm coming just to be your puppet and I have no chance of making the playoffs, you're not, you give me a 0% chance, then I don't want to be there. I don't want to risk my health for that. And so they're like, all right, well, then let's get the teams that are within striking distance, right? And now how do you define striking distance? You put the line here, you put the line here. So they go with 22 and involve the Suns and the Wizards, even though they're nowhere near, because they fit in the math, the kooky math of, oh, four, you know, most playoff teams are within five games of the eighth seed. So it has nothing to do with Zion. Like Zion specifically has nothing to do with Zion, because guess what? He's going in the first round. He's going to play against the Lakers if he makes it. And LeBron's playing and Anthony Davis playing. They're pretty good on ratings at that point. They don't, and especially nothing is going on. It's not like, oh man, we have to compete with, you know, the NFL or whatever. So all of this is ridiculous. Brian reported stuff that he'd heard from people and they'd said it and it's factual, but doesn't mean what they said is factual. And all it's done is created a stupid ass wild goose chase of everyone thinking this is all for Zion.
What kind of position are franchises, one comes to mind, at the Atlanta Hawks, right? They have this young nucleus, and now, forget the fact that they're not going to be in Orlando, although that's part of it, the start of next season is being delayed. I spoke to John Collins about this. This is the longest he's going to go without playing competitive basketball for a while. Is there legitimate concern within these franchises that, hey, we have a plan, and this totally nukes it. We got to get to playing even sooner than you have it scheduled.
I don't think so. I think for the most part, it'll be a slow start for them. But once you get into a couple of months into the season, like it comes back to you. It comes back to you. Much like I believe our playoffs are going to be good. We're going to have good playoffs. You asked earlier, you know, warm-up games. Well, they're giving them three inter-squad scrimmages. That's what that's for. And then you get into eight games. And again, you can't say, well, some people were more prepared than others. It's a flat playing surface, at least in Orlando. As far as next year goes, yes, the Orlando teams will have a leg up in terms of a little bit of taste of competitive action within the last 6 months. But at the end of the day, I think by the end of the season, the teams that are good are going to be good. And the teams that are not as good are not going to be as good, barring injury, obviously.
You're leaning on your expertise in terms of you still think the better teams are going to win. And I'm just not so sure who the better teams are anymore because it's been so long. Things change in the NBA season to season.
But it, again, barring injury or coronavirus, you know the Lakers are good. You know the Clippers are good. You know the Bucks are good. You know the Nuggets are good.
Yeah.
You know. And so.
But I don't know how much better certain players are. I don't know how much better Jokic is. I don't know how much better Bam Adebayo is. I don't know how any of this stuff flies. I could see, just because there's so many unknowns, a certain year where you get upsets that you wouldn't normally see.
I think it's when you look at, first of all, when we talk about upset, we're talking about 6, 7, 8, right? 4, 5 doesn't count.
Yeah,
right?
We're not going to see the 8-1, I don't think.
Right, 8-1 we probably won't see, especially when you consider how good the Lakers and the Bucks are.
Right, so now but we're maybe talking about 6 or 7, round. Right? Like, let's do this for the Homer Heat fan that might be listening to this in the local hour when they see the graphic out there. Why do the Heat have lower odds than the Sixers? Well, the Heat are drawing the Bucks in the second round. How much more hope would they have under this situation as opposed to traditionally hopping on a plane and going and having to play in Milwaukee?
I'm going to tell you right now, if you talk to people with the Heat, they were pretty confident before a coronavirus shutdown. If anything, this only helps them, right? The only, like, that uncertainty you're talking about. But before, they felt like we match up well with them. We have a bunch of 6'7", 6'8" athletes who can guard Giannis reasonably well one-on-one. Obviously, you're not going to shut them down, but well enough that you don't have to help and allow their shooters. And then on the other end, Milwaukee gives up more open threes than any other team in the league. Guess what Miami does? Really f-ing well. Shoot threes and shoot a lot of them. So they're saying, man, schematically, it matches up for us. And we went and beat them at their house without our best player playing. We're not scared of Milwaukee. So now you're saying, hey, by the way, there's no home court advantage anymore. That even factors in more for them. So to me, if I'm a homer Miami Heat fan, I'm not looking at Vegas odds or anything. I'm looking at the actual basketball of it, which is we match up well with the best team in the conference.
I've always been saying that. Even though I don't like the Iguodala move, I like it less now that he's had even more time off.
Mike. This is, we talked about the Blazers benefiting. Mm-hmm. The other two teams are anyone who has a player who is dealing with rust. The Indiana Pacers with Oladipo, which by the way might be a problem for Miami in the first round.
Yeah,
and Iguodala in Miami, because basically what's happened is we've leveled the rust playing field. Back when they were playing, I'm rusty. Everyone else is in full swing. Now we're all rusty. So now we're relying more heavily on your IQ, on your, you know, institutional knowledge upstairs. And that helps them. You slowed everybody else down to their speed.
It takes what I was pretty certain was a bad trade. And I know you hold Andre Iguodala in high regard. I just didn't like the deal. It takes what might have been a bad trade with certainty into, hey, this actually, to your point.
Why do you think it was a bad trade?
Well, look, I know Justice Winslow had his flaws. I thought the Miami Heat were playing their best basketball with Justice Winslow. I gave him versatile options in terms of he was essentially a de facto point guard for a second unit oftentimes. I don't like Andre Iguodala from what I've seen so far this season. I didn't really like him last regular season either. I know he's a playoff player. I just don't know how much stock I can put into something like that. Crowder's actually been the sneaky best part of that trade so far, and he has his own deficiencies. So even though we got the names in the trade, I'm not going to be just easily won over like that and just hang my hat on his reputation in the postseason. I thought Justice Winslow could have done more for this team being younger.
In the infamous words of Doc Brown, Marty, you're not thinking fourth dimensionally. What the biggest part of that deal was, beyond they were supposed to get Gallinari, but that didn't work out. And
right.
Now Gallinari's probably kicking himself because he could have had some money in the bank and playing for a team that has a chance.
I think Miami's kicking themselves. For doing
No. You're not thinking fourth dimensionally. The deal was about getting out of Justice Winslow's last year, that cleaning up that money so that when they go into 2021, now you can go after Giannis and Oladipo and all those guys.
Right.
That's why you do the deal. All this other stuff is like smoking. Oh, it's to get more competitive. Let's go. No. It's about giving yourself this was the move that they did in 2008. Like, why are they doing this deal? Why are they giving up?
This is Michael the Sean Marion deal.
The Sean Marion deal. This is Mike Beasley for 2 second round picks. That's
the deal that precedes the deal that precedes, hopefully,
exactly,
the deal.
Exactly. And it's not like, when you look at Justice Winslow, I think you can look at him in the same way you looked at Michael Beasley back in 2009 or whatever it was. He's good. He could be good, but it's like, I'm not saying like, no, not him.
Yeah.
By the way, that's the reason why Gallinari is not a Miami Heat player, because he wanted another year on that deal. And they said, you ain't messing up our plans. And so they did the deal without him.
You don't think a small part of them is like, man, we should have actually pulled the trigger because we have more of a shot now than we did before?
Oh, no. Because ultimately their plan is not to get a Cinderella's chance at 2020. Their plan is to go in there and do another parade and say, yes, we did again. Yeah. That's the plan.
They feel it's more realistic to actually sign Giannis than eliminate Giannis, is what you're saying.
I mean, you could probably do both.
You think? You got me excited.
I mean, why not? Like, again, in terms of the eliminating part, we talked about that. In terms of getting them, we already saw them start to put that plan in place. I mean, when the Warriors didn't extend Harrison Barnes, everyone was like, oh, no. And I'm like, no, this is all part of the plan. They don't want to extend him. They lowballed him so that he'd say no. So, we tried. And so they didn't have the cap space in 2016. This is all part of the plan. You got to think fourth dimensionally.
Shams came out on a podcast saying not just Giannis, but Oladipo is also a part of those plans. I always thought that one made sense. A lot of sense, because the cream connection, Wade is a bit of a mentor to Oladipo. It seems as though Wade's been working that one the same way that he was working Jimmy Butler, an agent in disguise, and maybe so much, like maybe not so much, he's hiding in plain sight right now. Obviously, you could do worse. Bradley Beal gets people a little bit more excited than Victor Oladipo, but how do you rate Victor Oladipo, granted he's dealing with this injury now, and we don't really know if he's going to be the same player?
Well, we'll see right now in Orlando what that looks like, because now he's a guy who is just coming back from injury, played 13 games, was really up and down, hit a game winner, but didn't play well for the most part. But again, now the knee is stronger, the quad is stronger, and he's we leveled that rust playing field. Everybody else is rusty now. So his rust is not as apparent. So I think we're going to see fully how good he looks in terms of how comfortable you are as a player with that leg. I think in the best case scenario, he might be better than Beal in the sense that he's an elite defensive player. And again, when you're talking about Miami's culture and what they hold, the values that they hold true, he exemplifies many of them. Now, part of this, I don't know if this has been reported or not, but part of this is I don't think he's particularly excited about being in Indiana. This is a guy with off the court interests. And I don't know how Miami views things like that, right? Like, hey, I also want to sing. Okay. Here's a basketball though.
Right? Maybach music. Like, make, come here, make, work with DJ.
DJ, there's a reason why
can put together a beat for you and you can be the next great booty artist of our time.
There's a reason why Dwayne Wade's song came out after he retired. Right.
I don't care what you say. That shit slaps. Amino has, and we took a little bit of a break right now from our Suns saga because there's so much news regarding the NBA and the resumption of play and the Kyrie Irving thing. And we didn't even get into why he chimed in as Kyrie Irving, but it's probably better left unsaid.
Kyrie Irving.
I've seen so many different reports. I've seen Kyrie Irving, and I saw it reported in The Athletic, Kyrie Irving. Is this, we need to get to the bottom of what this is. Maybe we don't. Maybe we're better served getting to the bottom.
Willendez.
Amin Elhassan, we'll get back to the Suns saga next week. I just wanted to talk some NBA stuff. I wanted to bring our text exchanges to life and make content out of it. So Amin Elhassan, thank you so much for waking up early in the morning. We'll talk to you next week.
We didn't even talk about Patrick Beverley.
Oh my God, no!